If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It began with an image, a man, hands tucked into his pockets, walking along an abandoned bridge. His grainy silhouette would become infamous, plastered across screens and flyers, haunting the small town of Delphi. He was dubbed Bridge Guy, and for 5 long years, he remained faceless, voiceless, until, suddenly, the silence shattered. Jurors filed into the Carroll County Courthouse with the weight of a community on their shoulders. Inside, Richard Allen, the man accused of brutally murdering Abby Williams, and Libby German sat in stoic silence. Outside, townsfolk clutched signs bearing the girls' names, their hopeful eyes betraying years of grief and unanswered questions. Friday marked the end of the jury's first full day of deliberations, 7 hours of sifting through harrowing testimony and conflicting evidence, yet they emerged with no verdict. For those watching closely, it wasn't just another trial. It was Delphi's reckoning. What the jury wrestled with was not just Allen's fate, but the reliability of evidence presented by the prosecution. The centerpiece, a chilling video and audio clip recovered from Libby's phone on that fateful February day in 2017. The video shows the girls traversing the Monon High Bridge moments before their encounter with the man in the blue jacket. His gravelly voice, captured forever, commanded, "Guys, down the hill!" The prosecution argued that this was no ordinary voice. It was Allen's, instructing the girls to their deaths. But that wasn't all. Prosecutors introduced an unspent bullet found between the victims' bodies. According to state experts, markings on the bullet matched Allen's Sig Sauer pistol, discovered during a search of his home. A damning connection, or so it seemed. But the defense came prepared, armed with its own experts. They questioned the reliability of the bullet analysis, arguing that comparing an unfired bullet to fired casings was like comparing apples to oranges. Then came the confessions, or, more accurately, the confessions made under duress. Over 60 times, Allen allegedly admitted to the murders, but always under peculiar circumstances. In April 2023, while in solitary confinement, Allen made the first of many confessions to his wife. "I did it. I killed Abby and Libby," he told her over the phone. A confession seemingly straightforward, but Allen's defense painted a different picture. They described him as a man unraveling, suffering from psychosis brought on by prolonged isolation. In these moments, they argued Allen didn't know what was real. The jury heard testimony from mental health professionals, each with their take on Allen's mental state. Some believed he was genuinely psychotic, prone to false memories and delusions. Others suggested he was feigning madness, manipulating those around him to gain more privileges or sympathy. Somewhere in between lay the truth, but whose version would the jury believe? Beyond the prison confessions, the prosecution leaned heavily on the bullet evidence. However, it wasn't the smoking gun they'd hoped for. The defense was quick to point out the lack of DNA evidence linking Allen to the crime scene. No fingerprints, no physical trace, only a bullet and a voice. But the voice. That voice. Prosecutors played it repeatedly, the same chilling command. Down the hill. For the jurors, it was impossible to ignore the resonance of Allen's voice in recordings made from his prison phone calls. But was it enough? The defense sought to undercut the significance of the voice, bringing forward witnesses who described the suspect in vastly different terms. Bridge Guy was tall and athletic, with a distinctive gait. Allen, in contrast, stood at 5'5" and bore the physique of a middle-aged man who hadn't seen the inside of a gym in years. Yet it wasn't just the physical discrepancies that raised eyebrows. There was also the curious mention of a van, a detail Allen supposedly shared with his prison psychologist. According to the prosecution, Allen confessed that he initially planned to assault the girls but aborted when a van drove by spooking him. The defense seized on this, suggesting the psychologist, a true crime enthusiast, may have colored her notes with prior knowledge of the case. As jurors listened to these conflicting narratives, the tension in the courtroom was palpable. The fate of a man and the healing of a community hung in the balance. For Delphi, the trial's outcome represented more than justice for Abby and Libby. It was a chance to reclaim peace, to finally put to rest the haunting specter of Bridge Guy. The clock ticked as deliberations continued, each second carrying the weight of unresolved anguish. Saturday loomed, and with it, the hope that the jury would find clarity amid the tangled web of evidence and emotion. It's a peculiar kind of agony watching a town hold its collective breath. Delphi, Indiana, has spent nearly 7 years haunted by the shadows of that bridge and the two innocent lives acclaimed. Now, with the jury deliberating Richard Allen's fate, every whispered confession, every piece of evidence or lack thereof feels like another turn of the screw. But here's what strikes me most. The unsettling quiet of the prosecution's case when it comes to hard physical evidence. We have a bullet that allegedly ties Allen to the crime scene, but no DNA, no fingerprints, no definitive forensic link. For a case that's been under a microscope for years, one might expect a mountain of irrefutable proof. Instead, we're left with a collection of circumstantial pieces, each compelling in its own right, but collectively thin when it comes to eliminating reasonable doubt. Then there's the confessions. A staggering number, 61 by the prosecution's count. But these admissions were made under conditions that would make any seasoned observer uneasy. Solitary confinement, psychosis, and alleged coercion paint a murky picture of Allen's mental state. What do we make of a man who vacillates between certainty and doubt, often punctuating his admissions with, "I think"? Were these confessions the product of a guilty conscience finally unburdening itself? Nor the delusions of a man whose reality had been warped by isolation. And yet, the voice from that video. It's haunting, isn't it? Even with the grainy quality, the tone, the cadence, it's chilling. The prosecution argues it's unmistakably Allen's. But here's the thing. The human mind can be easily led, especially when primed with suggestion. Did the jury hear Allen's voice in that command because they were told to? And if that's the case, how reliable can their interpretation be? This trial isn't just about justice for Abby and Libby. It's also about accountability, ensuring the right person is held responsible. It's a delicate balance, and one misstep could mean not just a miscarriage of justice, but the lingering doubt that Bridge Guy is still out there. So, we wait. For a jury's decision, for justice perhaps, but also for clarity in a case that even now feels shrouded in uncertainty. That's all for now. We'll keep digging and getting you the facts. Thanks for listening, and be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.